Lord, may there be power in your word today, that we would not just hear it, mark it, sleep through it, but be transformed by it. Would it live in our hearts? Would it speak to us all day long? Would it spill over onto others as we live it out? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. My sermon's been written. I really can sit down, but I just want to point out a few things, and I will keep it short because we've got a day with lunch and our annual meeting after church, which really should be relatively short. What have I said since we came back from sabbatical this summer about what God's saying over the church? He's declared it the season of spring. But it's springtime. God is preparing us for a new season. The word today is just incredible for our annual meeting because I think, you know, we have to recognize that God wants to pour out new wine. And what does he say about new wine is if he's pouring out new wine, it's got to be placed in new wineskins. New Wineskins is coming this year. If you are interested in missions and we want to gather a group of people to head to New Wineskins, this would be a great year to do so. We'll get you more information about that as we move forward. God wants to pour out new wine, and we hear this gospel lesson, Jesus' first miracle in Cana. Somewhere around 30 years old, we don't know exact dates. At the beginning of his ministry, he's in Galilee and he's been invited to a wedding, and he's just like one of those moments. Oh, mother. You know? When your mother knows that there is an anointing, what was it that, Laura, that was said about anointing when we had our conference arts conference with. He said, you know, we misplace the value of anointing. We say that anointing is on the person. But what was it that inhabit. Ryan and what inhabit. Was he saying about anointing? Inhabiting. Wasn't that a great word? That instead of anointing, we should talk about inhabiting. God inhabiting our gifts. God inhabiting our body. God inhabiting our words. God inhabiting our thoughts. God taking and having full relinquished power over our lives. And so, Jesus' mother says, Mary says, do whatever he says. Just do it, okay? So, there were six stone jars we think of maybe as a jar as something this size or this size, but we really don't think of something this size. And the jars for water were giant, 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to his servants, fill those jars with water. Scratching their heads, they did what they said. And when the master of the feast tasted the water, it not only had turned into wine, which is a miracle in and of itself, but that it turned into really good wine. We watched that process as we were away this summer. And let me tell you, really good wine doesn't happen instantaneously. Really good wine sits in sometimes oak and is infused with other flavors just to enhance that depth and those tannins. They've just got to sit for a while so that color and that flavor come forward. And then the wine has to breathe. This wine hasn't even had a chance to breathe yet. Water, boop, wine, boop. This is really good. Now, the steward of the wedding was scratching his head because the wine was not just wine that had been transformed into water, but he said, this is new wine. This is better wine. God is the God who speaks a better word over our lives. He speaks a word and he says, you know, you may feel downtrodden. You may feel beaten by the economy. You may hate politics. You may fill in the gap with whatever annoys you in this world. And let me tell you, there's lots to annoy us in this world. But God speaks a better word. I've heard all sorts of rhetoric, and I certainly pray in the same way that this new administration that's just been elected will bring us the fruit and blessing of restoration that Bishop talked about this morning. We want a season of restoration, but if we want real restoration, our hope is not in a man. Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in a system of belief, but one person. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in his presence. When I was sitting here thinking about what is it that has been held up over 60 years of witness in this place? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. When we argued about getting out of the Episcopal Church, it was because there was blasphemy in the church. We were calling truth a lie and a lie the truth. And we needed to separate ourselves from it, not because we were righteous, but because the Lord himself is righteous. And as we honor him, we had to uphold the truth of Scripture and say, no more. Are we going to slice it and dice it and make Julian fries out of it? Ron Popeil cannot have our church. Sorry, it's commercial world in my head. We are going to trust the Lord and we're going to step forward. And there are costs to that. The cost to that was there was a multi-million-dollar building over on the other street near us here that we had to let go of and say goodbye to. God is not through speaking a better word. Why do we know that? Well, let's go back to Isaiah 62. In Isaiah 62, there's a proclamation. Isaiah is saying to the people of God, you may have been taken, you may have been beaten, you may have been dispersed amongst across the world, but God, your God, will honor you. And Isaiah is saying in prophetic words, so it's whether it's Isaiah saying, this is the Lord speaking over you, or Isaiah saying, the Lord's told me to speak this over you. I cannot stay silent for Jerusalem's sake. The rocks are going to cry out. The proclamation of the gospel has more power than anything this world can throw at you. God has a better word. And let me tell you, I will not be quiet because her righteousness will go forth as bright. Her salvation will be like a burning torch. No matter what anybody can throw at you because of your faith, you can say what you want to say because I know what I know in my knower that this is the truth. And there's historical truth to back it up. There's faith and miracles to back it up. There's people who have been deployed into absolute horrible situations. I was in Hobby Lobby the other day, and I walked by and I saw a biography of Elizabeth Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot was long a hero of many, many people, and the sister of a friend of ours from the North Shore of Boston, Tom Howard. Tom Howard used to invited me over to his house where he would do things that he called the Saint Socrates Club. And we would debate spiritual issues and seminarians would come from various places. And it was fun to be a part of those things. But Elizabeth Elliot was one of those characters like Corrie ten Boom who had been put in harm's way again and again and again and saw the praiseworthiness of God in the midst of it because she knew, Elizabeth Elliot knew, Tom Howard knew, you know, that God speaks a better word. So Elizabeth Elliot was in the midst of reaching the tribal folks of South Africa and the Yanomamu, and I can't remember what the other tribe was, but her husband was killed bringing the gospel to them. And she went back, and those lives were transformed because of that trustworthy, faithful understanding that God is with us whether we live or die. because we're in his hands. This is not an end point when we end our lives, but a continuum where we get to continue to live into his presence and favor. It's all good, and we're all going to end someday. But the gospel says to us, not today's gospel, yesterday's gospel at Eric's funeral said, unless we die like a seed, and that seed goes into the ground, it cannot bring new life. God is trading the perishable, the things that die, you and I, the things that we plant in this life have a difference because they grow into something that bring about change. So for Isaiah, he said, you will no longer be a public spectacle. You will no longer be condemned by the world. Have you felt condemned? Have you felt condemned on the evening news? Christians? I've felt condemned. Evangelical church is our problem. They're the tail that's wagging the dog. They think that they've got power and they have no power. We're going to beat them down. We're going to take away the promises that they've been given and their 501c3 status or whatever it is that has been thrown our way. Go ahead. Take it away. The rocks will cry out if we shut up, right? Our proclamation is in the truth. And the truth has set us free. There's nothing to be ashamed of. And the Lord promises, as he promised through Isaiah, you will not be forsaken. Your land won't be desolate. You will be my delight because you are my bride. You will be my delight. Do you remember, husbands, as you watched your bride turn the corner to come down the aisle? Or just to enter the room? I mean, it sounds like the strangest thing. And if you're single, it's no slight on anybody. But that look on my face was absolute washed out. I was a mess because Kristen was so beautiful. And yet I realized that she was saying these words before she even said them. My life for yours. With all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. Now, I want you to take delight in the fact that the Lord says this to you, men and women, says, my life for yours. All that I have, my gifting, my power, my presence, my delight is in you. All that I have, I honor you. That's a promise. We can walk in that. We live in that. Now, the problem is we're still in flesh, right? We still have this life that we think, this is confusing. It's, you know, we forget that it's all about him because we want it to all be about us. And we argue over things and we say, well, God's given me a prophetic gift. So if I speak a word of encouragement to everybody and everybody finds favor in me because I just look so good. That's not the way the Lord gives gifts. He gives gifts to the body, which means he gets to dispense them when he wants to, not as an office. There are very few people that have the office of prophet or apostle or preacher or teacher, and you can tell when they are inhabited, when they have that anointing, right? You can tell because it comes with authority. God wants you to live out gifts in a way that you're saying, more daddy. Please, more daddy, please. Daddy, please. I'm being obnoxious for a reason. Because as a 4 or 5 year old, that's all a 4 or 5 year old knows. And that's about how old we are in the flesh. We've got nothing unless we're asking daddy to dispense the gifts that we're to deploy. And so when we hear Paul talking about how the Corinthians were concerned about gifting, it was because they were being fleshy. They'd forgotten where the gifts came from. And he says, now, to some, God empowers with a manifestation for the common good, the spirit of an utterance of wisdom, and to some, knowledge, and another faith, and another healing, another workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the same Spirit who apportions to each individually as he wills. Let me ask you to say three words, okay? You don't have to say them if you don't want to say them, but I'll say them first and you think about whether you want to say them and I'll point to you and then you can say them. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Now, you didn't say that because you have the ability to say that. If there was evil in you and you didn't believe it, it would not be able to come out of your mouth. I promise you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And Paul bears witness to it. He says you can't say Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit has given that to you, given you that ability. So to say Jesus is Lord is one thing, but to mean it is another. And in the flesh, we have to recognize that our gifts are not ours to hold, to self-proclaim, but our gifts are for the body, to build up the body. So on Sunday mornings, when we have words, we have great people who speak words. They are bold. I love that you're bold. There's several of you that have no problem being bold with what the Lord says. And some speak in tongues. And this is just a pastoral note. Dan Morgan would prefer that if you have a gift of tongues, I want to hear it on Sunday mornings during those times where you can, after worship, we feel the Spirit move. But I want you to wait because it has more authority if someone interprets that tongue than if you interpret it yourself. I know that when the Lord has given me the gift of tongues, it is usually for a personal prayer language, and I can interpret in my head. I know what the Lord is trying to say, and so I could say it out loud if the Lord has asked me to speak it out loud. But it has more inhabited power if we wait and hear that it's been affirmed in someone else. Now, like anything, Paul is very good about saying, chew the meat and spit out the bones. Now, that's not a direct quote, that's kind of a paraphrase. But when Paul speaks about employing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he said, the Holy Spirit, if it's in you, you just said Jesus is Lord, so the Holy Spirit is in you. You have access to say, please, Daddy, please. And as he dispenses those gifts, you're going to get better at using those gifts. And as you get better at using those gifts, you are going to want him to give you more, right? If God is handing out the goodies, guess what? Guess where I am? I'm getting in line. And you should too. Every day is an adventure with him. You just don't know where he's going to show up. And sometimes we feel the weight of being dispersed. We feel the weight of being put down. We feel the weight of being misjudged. We feel the weight of being fleshy, right? The only way to overcome that is what I like to call the theory that is in physics of displacement. More Jesus, less you. So fill that bathtub with the Holy Spirit and let you float out of it so that he can get inside of you so much that all that people are seeing around you is him. That's what I've got to say today. That's what the Lord wants you to receive. Is that if we are a people who understands he's always got a better word and that he's pouring out new wine into our lives that can only be contained by new wineskins, fresh start, new beginnings, new encasement for that wine, it means that you have to be renewed to be able to receive it and to hold it and contain it. And let's say, understand this, God knows how to make good wine better. And he's always pouring out good anointing, better anointing, different anointing for the current time. We are here at 60 years. We look back over a track record that many of us say, why, Lord? Why didn't we end up where we once were in those great days where we had hundreds and hundreds of people in that big building that was like a gymnasium? I don't know. I wish I could say. But we can whine and complain about history, or we can do something about it and say, I'm a fresh wineskin today, Lord. Fill me up. empower me, plug me in so that I might do whatever you want me to do, so that I might shine as bright as the brightest torch there is. That's what his word says to us today. That's what we should walk away from as we go out into the mission field. May he send us forth for the next 60 years with joy as he speaks a better word over us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.